What's up, you guys are listening to a Velvet's Edge podcast. This week I had the chance to interview Jack Katsoyan, who is a huge celebrity publicist in Los Angeles. He specializes in crisis management, so obviously he's got stories for days. Some of his clients include Erica Jane, Kim Zolciak, Nick Carter, Kristen Cavallari, and it's also used to rep Paris Hilton back in the day. So he gave me a couple fun facts about her that I was honestly shook by. We also talked a lot about just the behind the scenes of Hollywood. He told me Hollywood's best kept secret. I'm not even joking. And it's very surprising. We talked through some fashion tips and just any advice that he would give to anyone trying to break into the entertainment world. So it's super informative. Jack's also hilarious. So I think you guys will enjoy. Here's Jack. Going to be laughing before we even start.
Just out of control already.
Hi, Jack.
Hi, Kelly.
I'm here with Jack Katsoyan, who is a celebrity publicist in Los Angeles. Actually, when I looked you up, it said you are a celebrity publicist who specializes in crisis management.
Yeah, I know. Scary, but crazy. But I guess throughout my career, I've had girls who have been in more trouble than you can imagine.
Tell us more.
Well, I think, here's the thing. I think every time I've ever worked with a client, there's always been some kind of a crisis management that it had to be dealt with. Like, you know, I started young in the business, and then I got promoted young in the business as well. So my first client was Kristen Cavallari, whom you know.
Sure, a lot of crisis management there.
You know, throughout the Laguna Beach and the hills.
Yes.
And then my second client was Paris Hilton. So,
oh,
you
my
know,
God.
From the good old days to all the way to up until the end of when the album was going to come out. That's when we kind of stopped working together.
Wow. So all through her reality show, all the crazy. Didn't she have a couple sex tapes?
She had a sex tape.
It was just one?
One. It was just one.
Wow.
There was other ones that were just rumored to be out there, but actually never, it really didn't exist. It was just a rumor. Because, you know, those days were when the sex tapes were hot. Nowadays, no one really cares about the sex tape. Nowadays, I said, sex tapes are out. It's all about the old celebrity tweets.
Wait, what do you mean?
Well, all these old celebrities are getting in trouble for having like crazy tweets that they've tweeted when they were like 14, 15. And most of them are like racist tweets that it's coming back to haunt them. So I'm like, forget about the sex tapes. It's all about what you tweeted back in the day when you were like young and stupid.
Right. I mean, I feel like now with sex tapes, it's like everyone's seen what's happened to Kim Kardashian. They're like, I'm putting a sex tape out. Damn.
Well, I mean, everyone tried. Like, you know, right. The last one we saw was China.
I missed that one. Oh, did you watch it?
It's very slob kebab. Chopped liver.
Like, naturally.
There's nothing exciting about watching that one. So that's why I don't think maybe it didn't go anywhere because there's nothing like racy or crazy in there, and it's very boring.
Well, also now there's so much porn out there. It's like, what are you gonna do to
and
jazz
also,
it
she's
up?
She's wearing her socks in the video. Come on, why
do dare
we have
you?
Socks on?
If you're gonna make a sex tape, the first thing that should come off is your socks.
Exactly.
Let's be real,
like,
here.
Hello, what's why do you just bizarre? Like, I'm like, is that a thing? Did you get more better orgasm if you have your socks on or something?
I don't know.
Is that
a thing?
I don't know.
I don't know about that thing. If that's a thing, maybe I'll try it.
But naked, unless you're doing something outside somewhere in the public.
Oh my God. So, okay. So crisis management. I want to talk more about this because I used to be a huge fan of Scandal. So of course that is exactly what came into my mind. Is that like what you do? Are you like the Olivia Pope of celebrity publicity?
That's pretty much exactly what you do. If there is something going on in the client's life or something is a big scandal is brewing, then you just have to figure out how do you divert the scandal, or how do you get out of the scandal looking like nothing ever happened, or just make it disappear. Nowadays, it's really hard to do that because of social media and the internet. You know, back in the day, there was only a few tabloids and, you know, a couple newspapers, and that was it. And people didn't pick up the newspaper. If you didn't pick up the tabloids, you would have never known about it. But now it's like it's in your face. You would know about it.
Yeah. What do you do about that? Because, I mean, if someone's filming something and posted on social media, like, can you get stuff like that taken down?
No.
Right.
Mm-mm. I mean, sometimes here's the thing. If it depends on the outlet that you could make a deal with the outlet that if they bought the footage from the person, then if you make a deal with them, then it would make it disappear.
Okay.
But if they don't agree to what you have to offer, then they'll put it up. There's no control over it. That's why I think that a lot of people were asking me a couple of days ago, like, why isn't celebrities don't go out anymore to clubs? I'm like, right. Well, one reason is that everyone is a paparazzi. They don't have a safe place to enjoy their out and being, you know, doing what they need to do without getting a camera or some cell phone pictures being taken of them. So they don't, they're not really doing the club days anymore, bad like it used to be.
No, there's no secrecy. We should mention too, we mentioned that you worked with Kristen and you formerly worked with Paris Hilton. Some of your other clients right now are Nick Carter, Erica Jane, Brian McKnight, Kim Zolciak and her whole clan, yep. Correct?
The whole family.
And Nikita Dragon, who's that huge YouTube star?
She's a huge YouTube star, yes.
So who's your most troublesome client?
currently, I mean, we've dealt some stuff with Kim last year with the Housewives that was really difficult.
The Housewives are always kind of scandalous.
There was a lot of stuff in that we had to deal with last year. So that was kind of hard. But currently, I think everyone has just been very quiet, mm-hmm. and no trouble yet. I mean, yet. Kristen has been open about her and Jay's relationship, and people are trying to spin that into something bigger, and they're trying to juice it up.
Really?
And I'm like, well, you're just literally watching the show and you're spinning her words into something that she already talked about. So what is there new that no one knows about that she hasn't said?
Right.
So some of the tabloids are trying to spin that. So that's pretty much it for at the moment. Everyone else has been very behaving for now.
So what is your worst nightmare as a publicist? Because even just thinking of this, like, is it your fear that you're going to wake up in the morning and just something's going to be blown up on the internet that just went terribly wrong?
Always. I get anxiety. Even now when my phone rings, I get anxiety, especially if it's from a client. I'm like, oh my God, yeah. What's happening? Because if you know, they usually just text you, but I'm like, if they're calling me, there must be something going on wrong. So that's the time it gets a little bit scary. But I think I think everyone is just cautious now, mm-hmm. a little more on what they're doing and what they're saying and where they're going, because they know what's going to happen.
Right. So you're just a little smarter about more everything
aware of
you it. Do.
More aware of your surroundings. I mean, the PR days 10 years ago, it's completely different PR nowadays.
What do you mean?
Well, back in the day, it was just PR. I would say PR 101. It was, you know, we had 10 different outlets that you worked with, and that was it. Nowadays, most clients, they're like, I don't want to be on in a magazine. I want to be online because more eyeballs.
Oh.
You could have a great feature in a magazine, but no one is buying it.
That's so true. I never even thought about that.
And also, most people feel like if I already read a story online, why am I going to spend $4 to buy a magazine? That's the problem we're having.
But that's also like one of the hard things for you, is because once you get something online, it's really hard to get something off of online, right?
Well, again, it depends on the outlet. Some outlets will work with you to change something, and okay. then some outlets would not. It just depends on how creditable the outlet is, mm-hmm. and if they're willing to play with you.
What's the worst thing you've had to do? Like, do you have to go pay people off?
I've never had to pay people off.
I'm like so thinking in scandal terms right now.
I've never had to pay
now.
People off, but I've had to like make certain deals to like, we'll give you this for that. We'll do X, Y, and Z for this. So it's just a matter of like spinning it to what the client is comfortable giving them in order to get that killed.
Because isn't it like TMZs, they'll call you or whatever and say, hey, we have this story. Mm-hmm. We're going to run it tomorrow.
Yep.
And then you can either, as a publicist, what's your decision then?
Well, here's the thing. Some things that they're going to run is worth killing, or some things are not. Sometimes I would just be like, let it run.
Okay.
And then you're going to be forgotten tomorrow. If it's not worth, why fuel the fire if they're, you know, sending a statement or talking about it, you're just fueling the fire. It's going to go even broader and bigger. Sometimes it's just better to let it come out and then mm-hmm. it will just go away tomorrow. Because guess what? There's plenty of people out there that they're going to do something that's going to kill it. So right. sometimes you just got to let it ride it and just let it happen for itself. I know some people are just, some celebrities now are so quick to jump to the gun and start going off on Twitter, or they'll go off on their Instagram. And I'm like, that's the worst thing you could ever do for yourself, because right. you're not helping the situation. Like, if hypothetically, if someone was not reading TMZ, would not have never known about this. But now, since you put it on your Instagram, your the followers that you have now know about it.
Well, right. You make it more of a story.
Yeah.
Kristen's actually taught me that, because people are such haters on the internet, you know, and I always want to fire back. Like, I'm so Louisiana. So I get real fiery when people start talking shit to me about stuff on the show.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, you cannot respond. You can't make it a story.
No, you can't get into it.
Yeah.
The funny, it's, I get hate from people.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
We live in a world that people are not happy with themselves, so they'll come after you. I used to say, Jesus loves you too. They used to write me.
It used to be my
shtick. Whenever they would say something bad, I'll be like, Jesus loves me too. And for some reason, it makes them really angry.
I bet.
Or it just shuts them up and they go away.
Right.
But now I'm like, at the end of the day, I'm like, if you're coming to my page to write something hateful, clearly you're taking so much time out of your day to come and hate on me. Clearly I did something correct.
Right.
Or you're just a stupid fan.
Right.
You know, it's like, you cannot pay attention to it or like get into it, because you would be lost in the world of internet, sadly.
Ugh. Has there ever been anything that you didn't know how to fix for a client?
Actually, no.
Look at you.
I honestly, no. We've pretty much everything that any scandal that we have had in my life, we've kind of navigated in a way that we've come out of it.
Yeah.
Without any problems.
Have you ever been like, shit, I made the wrong decision there, or we should have gone the other way?
Yes, there has been moments like that. Like, oh, why did we respond to this? It would have been fine if we didn't. So nowadays, I think for me, I have to sit back for a second and I'm like, give it a second before we respond to it. Let's see what the reaction is going to be before we say something. Because I feel like when you're too quick to respond to something before it's already become something, mm-hmm. you just don't know what's going to happen. So sometimes I'll be like, let's give it a day and see what happens tomorrow morning. If tomorrow morning and this is still continuing, then we'll say something. If it's not, then guess what? It was yesterday's news.
Right.
So let's move on from it. Because it's just not going to help the situation. I wish I could give you some examples, but I can't, because then everyone's going to know what really went down. I'll tell you that off air.
Yeah, confidentiality.
But there's just, even recently, there's been a few things that I'm like, I'm glad that we did not respond to it.
Really?
And just let it ride.
That would be so hard, though, especially if you're just sitting there going, oh, my God, this, because it's your whole reputation.
I know this. It's really hard for clients because they're like, are you sure? I feel like we mean to say something. I'm like, I am really positive on this. If I didn't think I was, or I felt like we had to do it, then we would have. I'm like, I know. Just give it a second. Let's see what the real story is going to be tomorrow morning, because sometimes you don't know the exact situation,
right?
Or you don't know what they have, or if they're taunting you what they have, and or you just don't know how people are going to respond. If people don't give a shit about it, sorry.
Mm-hmm. You can cuss on here, it's
okay,
fine.
Perfect. If they don't care, then you're good. Why fuel the fire again? It goes back to, if you talk about it, and it's going to go worldwide,
right,
easily, quickly.
It takes so much confidence just to go, okay, let's just sit on this and just go with it.
Well, that's why I said, like, the next 24 hours, please get off Twitter.
Yeah.
And get off in social media.
Go
like,
keep
just
yourself
be a
busy.
Normal person for the next 24 hours. You could live without social media for the next 24 mm-hmm. hours. Like, it's not going to kill you.
Well, you've been doing this for a really long time, right? You got started at 16?
I got started at 16.
How is that even possible?
I was in school and I needed to do get a job for a credit, basically, of my high school, last year of high school. And I started working at a small PR firm, and I kind of never left.
Like, what's your backstory? Can you kind of walk us through it?
What do you mean backstory? Like, work-wise or just family-wise?
Yeah, like, just backstory. Like, where did you said you started at 16 at this small PR firm?
So it was
like,
a small PR firm, and mainly products. It was like, I worked on Diaper Genie, which is still around, and the guy sold for billions of dollars when I was working with him. I actually also worked on this company called Toilet Seat Covers, and you would
toilet seat covers?
It was a plastic wrap that you would put it on a toilet seat.
Oh my God, they have that in the airport in New Orleans still. Yes, I saw to that. This day.
So basically you would put it on the, I was like, how is this going to work? Because you're going to literally touch the thing. Like,
no, you press that button.
I know, but now they upgraded it to, they have the button. But yeah. Before it was like you would slip it on yourself.
Oh, gross. Oh, yeah, that's gross.
So I started working there, and this woman started working with us, and she was like, hey, my daughter is working on the Grammys, and she needs someone to help out. Would you want to do it? And I was like, Grammys, sure.
Duh.
So I showed up, and they were like, explained that we're going to be escorts for the day, like being basically someone's bitch for the day, I said.
Yeah.
And I got some celebrity and I started working with that person. And then it kind of was like, oh, this is really what I love. And then all of a sudden I was like flying all over the place doing award shows. Every single award show that was out there, I was a talent escort to different people. And one of the publicists, she was like, you're really good at this and you know a lot. She's like, what are you doing now? I go, well, I'm more at a PR firm now. I'm working for products. She's like, well, you should do talent. She's like, I'm actually looking for someone to work for me. Do you want to work for me? And I was like, okay, what am I getting paid?
Right.
what does this salary look like? That was it. So I moved into that company. I actually, this is crazy because we just were talking about this from a couple of my coworkers. I had to bring a fake ID to get the job.
Because you probably couldn't even drink, could you?
No, I could not. At the time, I was 19.
Oh,
and
my God.
She was like, can you work? I was like, yeah. So I literally had to get a fake ID to get the job, and it worked. And then when they celebrated my 21st birthday, they were like confused about yeah. it. I was like, yeah, I had to use a fake ID to get this job. And that was like the butt of joke for the company for a while that we hired you with a fake ID.
So you just had a natural talent for this.
Here's the thing. I always say PR is either you do or you don't.
Yeah.
So it has to come within. It's not that you're going to have to go to school and study for it or get a college degree. It doesn't help whatsoever.
No, I actually have a PR degree.
There you go.
And look what I'm doing with my life.
Exactly. And I always say that. I'm like, I'm so happy that, I mean, I quit halfway through, which my mom was not very proud of me about that.
I'm sure.
Because I was like, okay, I'm pissing out on my, like, all the money that you spent on college now. I'm like, going to be a publicist, mom. I got a job full time. So, but looking back now, I'm like, thank God I don't have those debts to pay off.
Right.
Because most people are still in debt from going to school.
Right.
So I'm happy I don't have to worry about that. But that was kind of like the opening for me at just starting there at that firm. And then from there, I had a really good boss who actually let me do what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
He was just not into traveling much. So he would send me instead of him going. So
that's the fun part.
I was like, hey, I'm like in my 20s and traveling the world and seeing things that I would have never thought I would ever be able to see. And I've seen half the world with someone else's dime.
Right.
I'm not complaining about that.
Right.
So if I don't think it was him like giving me the free reins to do what I wanted to do, I would not be here I am. I've kind of like self-taught myself and kind of took it from there.
Yeah.
And it was just the best thing that happened.
Well, so when did you go out on your own?
So it was 2008.
Okay.
Around there, basically the company I was working with, they got bought out by a corporate propaganda, I call it. And it just became, you have to be here at 9 a.m. and go home at 6 p.m. Mm. And that's not who I am. I was like, listen, I worked until 2 a.m. last night with the client at the premiere and the party afterwards. I'm not coming in at 9 a.m.
Right.
when I'm like literally dead already. It's not happening. So it just became like that and just took away the fun out of it. And then when they start giving you clients that you don't want to work on, like chefs, I don't know how to do chef.
Right.
I'm not interested in a chef. I've worked with chefs before, but it's not my...
It's not your wheelhouse.
It's not my shtick. It's not my mm-hmm. niche, you know? So I was like, all of a sudden I was getting people that I don't want to be around or work with. And then you become miserable. So I was miserable at the job for a while. So I was like, listen, I need to go somewhere else. So I left there and got another job at another firm. I actually ended up crying at that firm for seven days when I was working there.
Why?
It was just the most horrendous experience I've ever had in my life. They had, I hope they're not listening, but they had one email for the whole company.
What do you mean? One email address?
One email address for the whole company. There's probably 12 people working there.
Oh my
and
God.
We all had to use the same email address.
That makes no sense.
Exactly. And I was promised I was going to get my own email, but didn't happen because she was controlling. I literally had to sit there and funnel through my emails to find an email that made, like, oh, this email is for me. But also, I'm like, I have clients who some, you know, who are emailing me private things, or there's private contracts going on, private business going on. I don't need all 12 people to be seeing this. So I was just, it was bad. I literally was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? Like, this is just so horrendous. And the seventh day, I had one of my clients was like, hey, listen, I could see you're miserable. If you want to leave and start your own company, we'll back you up and we'll give you whatever you need. Just go on your own. Do your thing. You could do this. So a friend of mine had an agency, but he was just he was a talent agent, more for hair and makeup people. And I ended up just working in his office. And that's how it happened. And then 2 years later, I met my current business partner, Ben. Mm-hmm. And he was doing corporate. And he was like, I want nothing to do with talent. And I was like, I want nothing to do with corporate.
Perfect.
So I'm like, here's my corporate clients that are reaching me out. And he's like, here's the celebs that want to work with me that I don't want nothing to do with. So kind of we merged together. And that's how it happened. Now, 10 years later.
Wow. So,
God, it's been a long time.
Well, now not only are you just a publicist, you're an author.
I am.
Let's talk about these books, because here's what's interesting to me. So Jack has written two books now. One is called Blind Item, and then the follow-up to Blind Item is Guilty Pleasure.
Yes.
And so, okay, give the people the backstory of these books. Like, tell them the premise.
So basically, the backstory of the book is me and my writing partner, Kevin Dixon, who he worked at a tabloid. We, him and I became fast friends because of a client that I was working with, and she was a lot of trouble. And he reached out to me one day and asked me if I could meet him for coffee. And we met, we hit it up, and became fast friends. So throughout the years, we would do this, like, kind of meeting every once a month or twice a month, and just, like, sitting there and just gaggling and having fun and talking about things that we had seen, or the scandals that were going on in Hollywood, and just, like, being two girls, basically. So, as, you know, this couple of years ago, we were like, we need to write a book. We have so many great stories that are
all the behind the scenes, all the
behind
stories.
The scenes drama. And there has never been a book that really opens up the rope. Sorry, and shows you what really goes down in a PR aspect of
it. Well, this is my question to you, because I find that so fascinating. I also see a lot of the behind the scenes stuff, and part of our job is to protect those secrets, right? Like, wouldn't you say as a publicist, that's one of your biggest jobs?
Thing in the whole world, no matter what. So that's why we became Clever. And each of the characters are based on certain people that are, some of them are two people in one. And we changed their nationality. We made them a boy into a girl, so that no one really, the audience who is reading it, they don't really get to guess what these scandals are. So both books take place in about a girl who comes from a small town. She moves to LA and starts working at a PR firm. Shocker.
Who's that girl?
And she makes it big because she's always at the right place, kind of at the right time. And she knows what she's doing. Sometimes she's lost too, but it's just about her journey in the PR world. And then, you know, there's, she has two friends, and it's about their life and what really goes down in that scandal world that we live in. It opens up the eye of the reader of, like, what really goes down. And it's a quick read, which is what we wanted. It's an easy read. And it also just, it's fun to read, and it's funny how different people have different reaction to it.
Uh-huh.
And the number one like question that we still get asked about is marriages really arranged in Hollywood?
Right. I read a lot of stuff about that regarding these books, but is it?
Yeah.
Like, what you hear about, okay, so I always hear Tom Cruise. It's like, oh, he's gay, so we're going to arrange. And I know you can't comment on that, but that's just the
part. Well, he's not my client, but that's
if you kind of
look at his past, and if you calculate it correctly, all his marriages last about 2 years.
And all of the women he married were not as famous when they started, and then it catapulted their career.
Well, here's the thing. Any actress in Hollywood who's struggling, they could become an overnight success if you're dating the right person.
So as a publicist, is that something that you've ever had to arrange or like
all the time?
What?
Of course.
Really?
Or like have them be at the right place at the right time.
Oh my God, that's so interesting. And also, I'm just thinking in my head that Kristen told me that her publicist, Jay's publicist, set them up. Dun, dun, dun.
There you go. No, it's really still happened. And also, like, especially sometimes a heartthrob will have a movie coming out and they'll, instead of him being single, they want them to have some kind of a scandalous or something to talk about. So they'll put them with a girl.
So that's still happening currently.
Still today.
Now I have so many questions. I'm like, want to ask you who?
I mean, there's so many.
Huh?
I don't really want to out them out,
really?
Sadly, but there's so many.
There's so many.
There's so many.
So and, in the book.
And there's one starlet in Hollywood that she's been through now 4 or 5 of them.
What?
She's literally on that mission to make. Keep her relevant as much as possible.
So do we know, like as a viewer, do we know that? Or do we just look at it and go, oh, poor girl, she's lost in love. And
poor girl.
Wow.
Because it's all calculated correctly and it's done the right way. And it's very much that.
My mind is blown right now. Like I thought it happened a couple times or like there was just, you know, maybe someone who was like, oh, it's not going to help my career to be gay. I'm a heartthrob or something, you know? For women, so mm-hmm. that doesn't work. But no, this happens all the time.
This happens all the time.
Wow.
I mean, being gay is acceptable now more than it was
totally.
A couple of years ago. But still, there's a lot of guys who still have the hard time getting that leading role.
Right.
Or, you know, playing that leading role because, you know, the audience really doesn't resonate because they're gay.
Right.
So I don't want to, you know, so it's sad, but true. That's right. The way it is. So they kind of have to stay in the closet and protect their identity in order to play that action hero or play that macho man that they're supposed to play.
So are people in Hollywood aware of that and the rest of us just aren't? Or
of course.
Okay. So you guys know too. Mm-hmm. And it's, wow.
There's some of them I always say, I'm like, it's the worst kept secret in Hollywood.
Right.
But the outside world doesn't really...
No idea.
They don't get it. And some people are sadly just not that much in tune to it.
They don't want to be. You want to believe in the love story.
Yes.
Wow. So in this book, you guys write a fictional version of that.
So it's fictional characters and it's exactly version of that. And
right.
She's navigating all with all different troubles and situations that she gets involved in, or her clients are in this situation. She has a fun, crazy boss who's, you know, she's out there, the biggest personality, and she's really funny, and a lot of people love her, reading about her. So it's basically just navigating in the Hollywood and the PR world, and just gives you the glimpse of the inside that no one really has been able to see or talk about, but in a fun way.
But they're based on true stories,
and all
right?
True stories, fictional characters, we say.
Okay, so did anyone get pissed at you when the book came out?
Yes.
Oh, like old clients or something?
No. Yeah.
You don't have
yes
to say who, but tell us a story.
I got in a phone call, and it was basically saying that I heard that you did a book, and it's about what has transpired that we've been through together. And I said, yes. I said, just want to assure you that I'm more than happy to send you the book so you can read it. And there's nothing in there that anyone is going to know that it is you or you're going to be outed. Unless you want to go on, you know, national TV and do it yourself, that's your problem, not mine.
Right.
So that was it. And then ended up reading it, got a text saying, I hate you. And that was it.
Okay, bye.
And that was it. But also,
Jesus
there was
loves
a
me
certain
too, right?
family who was afraid of it too. And I know that they called People Magazine trying to get a copy of it. And we got the phone call. But it was, I'm like, there's nothing in this book about you guys whatsoever. So
I cannot wait to read this now. It says on the front, a sexy, fun read.
It is. It is.
So speaking of facades in Hollywood, I read somewhere else that you said Paris Hilton is actually smart.
She's very smart.
What?
Yes.
So like a businesswoman smart?
Businesswoman smart. I mean, here's the thing. A lot of people just look at her as the girl from Simple Life. The
right.
girl from Simple Life has an empire behind her. She has over 40 something stores around the world that sell nothing but Paris Hilton merchandise.
I heard she's huge in like Japan.
Beyond belief.
Yeah.
And then she's the most successful perfume, celebrity who has perfume lines out of any of the celebrities that are out there. I think she's going on to her 38 scent.
That's crazy.
So, I mean, if not by being dumb, you're not really going to be where you are.
So she's or where she is. Into that
and also
character.
On top of that, let's be honest. As much as people want to hate on her and complain about her DJing, girl is still bringing $1 million check from Europe.
Wow.
For DJ sets.
For one DJ set?
So I think 3 days or 2 day DJ set, she gets at least $1 million.
Oh my gosh. So she knows what she's doing.
She knows what she's doing.
It's so weird because like, I feel like since the Kardashians kind of took over, she's not on my radar as much for some reason. But recently someone said that about just in Asia, she is like
huge.
People die for
it's
her.
All about like Ibiza.
The
different ways people want to call it. Like she's, you know, she has her residency down there.
Wow.
And then in Asia, it's unbelievable. But I think worldwide, I think the people more are obsessed with her and care about her. I think the U.S. is more kind of have gone down. Mm-hmm. She's kind of like made her way back in the U.S. at mm-hmm. the moment. There's a lot of more attention onto her, especially with the wedding was happening. And
I know. I'm thinking of every wedding now. I'm like, wait. So the wedding's off?
The wedding's off.
Was that a scandal? I mean, was that like a complete facade?
I don't know, honestly. But... And that's off. So I think in the U.S., there, you know, people are paying more attention now than I think before. But she's made a really good living out of herself.
Damn.
I don't think she has any problems.
Are there any other like major Hollywood facades that we need to know about as the public? Like, you know, like relationships or what else would there be? I mean, this whole Paris Hilton thing is kind of a shtick, right? Like,
I mean, the biggest facade I would say would be the set up relationships. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it's just like some people have gone to an extent when they drop off the map. They've gone to an extent to fake, addiction.
Fake addiction? That is the most fucked up thing I've ever heard.
People will do anything to get back their stardom.
Oh, my God.
Because here's the thing. Hollywood loves when someone is... been trenches and they've been put through something,
right?
We all love a comeback story.
A comeback, it's so true.
So some crazy people who, believe it or not, have met for some reason, thought it would be a great idea to have an addiction or go to rehab to come out looking like roses and restart their career.
Oh my God. I mean, it is like so cutthroat here. I feel like it's that way in Nashville too. There's things like behind the scenes stuff that we all know, but Hollywood seems just like another level.
Well, I think it's so hard for these people sometimes, even if you look at it. When you're on in demand, everyone is pulling you in every single direction. So you're getting all these attention. And there comes one day, all of a sudden, all that is gone. And you're alone.
Mm-hmm.
The only people that you have work who are there for you is the people who basically you're paying them to be around you.
Which is crazy.
Everyone else is gone. The groupies that you were hanging out with because you were able to buy bottles of service and things at the club or they were getting free perks out of you is just poof, they're gone. So that's hard. You know, you go from being top-notch celebrity to being the D-list of the totem pole.
Right.
Not even paparazzi's following you. Nobody's asking for autographs. No one can even recognize you. So it's really hard sometimes for these celebrities who have had that and then they lose it completely.
So they just get desperate to stay relevant.
Yeah, pretty much. You have to. And also some of them didn't really think about investing, so they're broke as fuck.
Right. So from your perspective as someone who's been in the scene for so long, like how have you kept your head on straight?
Here's the thing. I think one thing I always say when I work with someone, you have to think about the longevity.
Okay.
And quality over quantity press. You have to think about that. And also, if you keep it classy, keep it cool, and keep it relevant on what's happening and what's going on with the changes that are happening with our society, mm-hmm. then you'll stay relevant.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to be old and stale, then good luck to you.
Godspeed.
You know?
Jesus loves you too.
So, you know, you just got to be relevant with the times. And you know, I always say, you know, as much as people want everyone to be an open book, the little bit of the mystery is always good to have because then I'm going to crave more. But if you're like a total open book, I don't want to be around. I've already seen everything. What is there more left to know about you?
That's
interesting.
If you
talked about everything about your life, great. You're going to be hot now. Come and talk to me in 6 months.
Right.
Are you really going to be relevant in 6 months? No one knows. Probably not.
Got to leave a little mystery.
We got to leave a little bit of a mystery because you want them to, you know, like that person I think who's done that really well is Beyonce.
Oh, for sure.
You know, even though
she's done everything well.
She lets you into her life, but it's not as much as you want to be in there.
No, she does a documentary and then she disappears for 6 months or whatever. Yeah,
it is.
You're right.
It's kind of done in a really clever way. Mm-hmm. You see things, but you still don't know her.
That's so
true. You
think
you know, but you don't. So yeah. I think one thing she's done that with her life and with her career, I think is amazing because she's kept that mystery going. Mm-hmm. And we're still interested, like no tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it, you know, it's about that. I think you have to keep it to that.
So when you were writing the book, how did you worry that you were going to lose all your clients by putting that stuff out there?
At first I did. That was, so we, you know, we, it took us about almost 3 years, 4 years, you know, we had a lot of no's, a lot of doors were closed. Nobody wanted to touch us or talk to us or even read the manuscript. And then the publishers were all asking for a tell-all.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's one thing I said to Kevin. I was like, I would never do a tell-all. I would never out anybody. I would never tell the truth about anybody because I have a career. I still want to continue having my career after this book. So that was the biggest challenge for me is the fact that I didn't want to sell myself out.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to keep it classy and correct in the way it was supposed to be without hurting anybody's feeling or outing anyone because it's not a good feeling. So that was the biggest thing. That's why we kept it to, we made certain people into certain characters. So they kind of don't really get to know who they are.
Yeah.
You don't. Actually, you don't. And
you can't figure out who the real person is.
No, people have tried to guess for a long time and they've all been wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The only person who have guessed it correctly is my best friends who've known me for many years.
Probably knew the real stories.
They know the real stories, right? They know some of the nitty gritty stuff in my life. So those are the only people who have actually guessed who it is.
Interesting. Okay, let's talk about fashion a little bit.
Hey, my favorite subject in the world.
I knew it would be. So Jack can be seen with us this season on Very Cavalieri. Yes. On season 2. You made some bold fashion statements this season. Do you remember the Versace robe? Wait, did that make it into the Palm Springs episode?
It did. It was in there for sure. I was so disappointed because they said it was a total like pajama party. And then I walked in and all you guys were in your sweats. I'm like, where's the pajamas?
That's what I mean. Okay, first of all, to say like pajama party, I'm like, you guys don't want me really in my pajamas on national television because they're not cute. Like, by the way, it's like an oversized t-shirt, you know, nothing sexy. So we did try to do casual sweats. Kristen wore these little bikers, but then Jack shows up.
I was full blown in my, first of all, I don't own any pajamas, believe it or not. I don't.
I mean, I actually do believe that about you. I feel like you're a sleep naked kind of person.
I am. I mean, I just underwear. That's it. But okay. I was like, well, I go, this is closest enough to do it. So because I thought everyone was going to be all in their like fancy, cute little lingerie or little like
who's wearing
teddy.
Lingerie?
You'll
to
be
a slumber party.
Like, oh, they're going to be in full.
Have you met us,
out.
Jack?
And I walked in. I was like, what happened?
He was in this like Versace robe. This is, I think it was episode 2. We went to Palm Springs.
Two, yeah, it was episode 2.
And then my favorite that has not aired yet is the onesie at the pool in Mexico.
Oh my God. I had to wear a onesie because first of all, I felt
as you do.
Big as a house.
Oh my God.
I was like, I need big glasses, a hat, and a onesie, and then I'll be fine.
Where does one even find a onesie swimsuit like that?
Amazon.
Shouldn't have even asked where you find everything else in this life.
I mean, literally, it was $15 on Amazon,
oh,
believe it or not. It was
God.
The best thing I've ever bought in my life for nothing.
So what is if you have a number one fashion philosophy, because I feel like you like to make bold statements.
I always say get up the most expensive shoes and you're good to go. If your shoes look good, then no matter what you wear, you're going to look good with it.
Okay, so expensive shoes. That's where you say to drop the money.
That's where I try to drop the money because fashion is one thing. It's so ever-changing right now, especially with fast fashion being so popular with everybody. So it's like you could even though you could go and spend the money on a $10,000 jacket, that jacket is going to be gone within a month. Nobody's right. going to care anymore about it. And also now I feel like it's, most people are shopping on the designer resale websites because whatever you wanted a month ago will be there in less than a couple of weeks.
Right. You mean like it's, the real real things like
exactly.
that. Yeah. Like,
I was just looking on the real real actually.
Real real is awesome.
And all the Louis Vuitton Virgin Abdul stuff is already on there.
Yeah.
And that stuff is so expensive. I'm like, so why do you even spend that money when you could go on the real real and shop?
Get it for half the price.
So might as well just at least buy those shoes that's going to last you at least for a good year, if not less.
It right.
depends how often you wear them. And then pair it with something cute and still it's going to work no matter what.
It's funny you say that. I just bought my first pair of Louboutins this year.
Yes.
I finally made the splurge.
Are they comfortable? Because a lot of people complain about it. So I think the trick about Christian Louboutin is that people don't really understand. It's made for Italian women. And what the explanation to me was the fact that the arches for Italian women are a lot shorter than the arches for American women.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So that's why it's for the American woman, it's not comfortable.
Well, the arch, yeah. Like, I honestly, usually I'm wearing them at night because I got the heels. Just a basic black. You know, you just need a good pair of those. But usually I'm having a cocktail and thank God because they're just not that comfortable. But for me, I'll like take it. I just feel great in them.
Well, here's the thing. Why don't you rub some CBD oil on your...
Ooh, that's a good idea.
That's like the new rage. Everyone is putting CBD oil on your feet. So it kind of numbs it and makes it feel good.
Oh my
so
God, I never even thought about that. Do you know, this is going to make me sound so old, but mine is my ankles. I feel like I have like wobbly ankles when I wear them.
I guess you're going to have to put some CBD oil on that.
God, it's going to make me like loose ankled, falling everywhere.
No, fashion is a big important, I think, in our everyday life now.
Yeah.
Especially with Instagram. My mom always now says, she's like, Instagram makes people go to bankrupts because they want to post something every day. That's
it's so true.
Fashion-wise. And then Facebook ruins relationships. I'm like, okay, mom, great. But
I don't think she's wrong, though.
I don't think she's wrong. I think she's onto something here for sure. But it's just so, it's hard to keep up.
Everybody's always trying to keep up, though, and Instagram is such a facade. I have to talk about that all the time. I have an Instagram business, and I still want to say that because it's not real life.
No, nothing is real anymore. No. I mean, people make, sometimes they're like, wait, I just saw you, but you posted something, you were at the snow. Yeah, because I was there like 6 months ago, and right. I didn't want to post that picture because I was saving it for it for something else.
So it looked better in my feed. So
exactly. It's just, I think nowadays, nothing is real.
Right.
I mean, the fact that, people are getting busted now for all the fake, travel photos that they're posting or anything, the Photoshop stuff that they're doing. But people are just obsessed. I mean, I feel like if you're going to let that much of Instagram or fashion take over your life, then that's sad.
It is sad, but it's the world we live in, unfortunately.
And we all try to keep up with it.
I know, we do. Buying all the stuff, like your mom said, she's nailing it. Ruining relationships on Facebook.
Literally. I was like, okay, mom, you're onto something. Because she's like, you never post the same picture or the same clothes. I'm like, no, I try not to.
Right. That's a lot to keep up with, though.
It is. It is. It's like, I feel like Instagram is a library of fashion that you have in your
right.
closet.
Yeah.
And the other half, you're like, where is the rest? Because I don't remember even having this stuff. What part of the closet is it in?
Who knows?
Purging is the best thing I've learned.
Are you like Marie Kondoing?
I mean, I not love selling stuff. And then that way it gives you more excuse to buy stuff at least.
Me too. I just started a Poshmark page. Do you have one?
No, I don't.
I've just been selling half of my closet. It feels so good. But then it's like, I take that check and I'm like, what can I buy?
Well, it's the best thing. That's the way I put it on the real real. And then as soon as I get that check from you, I'm like, let's go shopping.
Right,
let's
exactly.
see what they have. I need something this. I need this. It just adds up. It adds up quickly. Then it's like, I try to not to buy. I used to buy crazy stuff back in the day, like colorful and sequins. I mean, I still have some of that.
I think I've seen you in some sequins.
Of course. But then I'm like, wait, I could only wear this once. Then what happens?
Right.
I just dropped $3,000 on a sequins bomber jacket that I could literally just
never
wear
gonna wear again.
No.
Yeah, it's all about the basics. I will say when I sell something first and then I buy something, it feels more like recycling.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I'm doing something good for the culture.
you feel good about yourself.
I just
give it away and I'm like, oh, it's still, I'm doing something good for somebody.
That's true. Charity work. Okay, so we talked about Very Cavalier. Did you see the super tease they put up?
OMG. I was just really afraid of the super tease.
This is, don't be afraid. I think it's epic.
I mean, it's going to be the most epic trip ever because first of all,
we're talking about our trip to Mexico.
I was thinking that I was coming to this zip lining because I had, you know, fractured my arm. I had taken my cast out.
So I
was
on, you know, injured.
It was kind of a, what is it? Just a, brace that I had on at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was like, okay, I'm going to get away with not like doing any of the zip lining stuff. So I'm down for it. Let's go. So I dressed up in not appropriate zip lining clothes, first of all.
Like, wasn't a onesie at least.
It was not a onesie. And the guys who worked there, they were like, you're wearing those shoes? Oh, yes, I am.
What did you have on these slides?
I had those sneakers.
Can you describe them, please?
So it was snake skin, yes. Patent leather, actually Jimmy Choo's.
Very on trend.
Very on trend. So I was wearing those for zip lining, yes. But when we got there, it was all of a sudden, we're like, okay, we're going to get on this car. So I was still thinking that I'm just going on just to support everyone to do what they need to do. But when we got up there, it was a different story.
It was like an obstacle course.
Well, we had to zip line to get to the end. There
right.
was no other way around because even the camera guys had to zip line with
everybody
their stuff,
with the
gear.
Huge cameras.
Yeah, so there was no way around it. So basically, we had to do what we had to do in order to survive the jungle.
Oh my God, in the super tease that they put up on the Very Cavalier Instagram, you can hear Jack screams.
I just hope our moment.
I know the moment.
Our moment makes it.
I have this weird feeling it's not going to, but it was the best moment of my ziplining experience.
Me too. I had the best time. I was not scared.
Jack and I got to ride tandem on one zipline together.
Well, Kelly, I'm topping me, basically.
Yeah, I got behind you. I was like, no
you
way.
You were the top in that relationship.
It felt right.
Good.
You liked it too.
I did. It felt good.
At the end of the trip, remember, everyone's like, what's your favorite part of the ziplining experience? And both of us are like, the tandem.
Me too. It was my favorite part. And then otherwise, I was screaming like a little banshee girl the whole time.
Scream is the funniest thing I've ever heard.
And on the super tease, you could see it too. And I'm just like, oh God, I'm going to literally be mortified watching this. But also my face in when Kristen is talking about
her clogged nipple duct.
Yeah, situation is priceless.
Mexico got a little wild. I guess that's a good way to put it.
It was. I mean, I think we had a really good time in Mexico.
I lost my
especially
voice.
Especially at Squid Row.
Oh my God, Squid Row. The cage. The dancing cage.
Oh my God. It was interesting.
It's definitely what happens in Cabo stays in Cabo, except when there's a camera crew around.
Except when it ends up on E!
On E! On national television. So you can tune into that this season on Very Cavalier.
We go to Cabo.
Oh my God. I can't wait for that. Where else can people find you? Because I know Blind Adam is on Amazon, right?
It's on Amazon and Barnes and Nobles and some bookstores around near you.
So Blind Adam and Guilty Pleasure is out now.
Yeah. So Blind Adam is our first book. So if you're going to read it, read Blind Adam first and then read Guilty Pleasure because Guilty Pleasure is a continuation of Blind Adam.
Yeah. And then you are on Instagram at Jack Ketso.
Yes. Jack Ketso, JACKKUTSO.
Oh, look at that spelling fast. You've done that before.
Many times.
And then let's talk about, you have this t-shirt company we were talking about before.
Yeah. So Berm Squad, me and my best friend started a t-shirt company. Just like a fun parody t-shirt on what's happening now. Just little sayings and fun stuff that
like little sayings like dunzo that Kristen
says. We have the dunzo, we have hoochie, we have a t-shirt that says YSB and
what's YSB?
You stupid bitch. So it just says you stupid bitch Paris in the bottom of it. So it's kind of in the logo of YSL.
Okay, that's cute.
So just a fun little something on the side to get creative and, you know, just continue being creative on. Because PR is creative, so you have
totally.
To be creative. So I think it just keeps the creativity juice going in me.
What does Berm Squad mean?
Well, Berm Squad actually started off when me and my friends used to say, whenever we saw a really hot guy, we used to say Berm.
That's the you call a
we
hot
would
guy
call
a
them
berm.
Berms.
Like B-E-R-M. Berm.
We would call them Berms because there was a code name of saying a hot guy is coming.
Okay.
And then it just became a thing. And then one day we were saying Berm, and this girl was like, berm. Like, why are you guys saying berm? We're like, well, because we call hot guys berm. She was like, have you ever Googled what berm means in the Urban Dictionary? We're like, not really.
What does it mean?
We did. And it was a hot sperm.
Wow. So now you have a website called the Hot Sperm Squad,
yes,
basically.
Yes, the Hot Sperm Squad. Exactly, the Hot Sperm Squad, exactly.
Have you TM'd that? Because
I mean, I was just like, it's, you know, it's just a little cute code name. But then I think what kind of hit it on the head when Cardi B called Bono berm.
Okay.
So I was like, we made it. Berm is on Cardi B's she vocabulary, okay?
Bono berm.
She called Bono
oh
berm.
Oh, my God. I love
she
her so
much. She said at the
much.
Grammys that Bono left her a note that Bono is a berm. I was like, wow. Did I just hear this?
I mean, Bono is a berm, though.
He is a berm. He was a hot
wow. This is like a new, I'm totally going to use
so
this
the
now.
Code name, if you want to see, when you see a guy when you're hanging out with your girlfriend, you just say yeah. berm. Berm coming over.
Berm coming your way.
And nobody ever knows. It's funny because sometimes we'll do it at out and about, like at the airport or somewhere we are. We're like, berm. We'll make a crazy sound about it. And people, you know, they'll like, what is, they just get confused.
Well, it sounds like you're saying perm. So they're probably just like, oh, wait, somebody got a perm?
Perm.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I know I'm going to get this question 800 times. So I'm just going to ask you just this in summary. I know okay. people are going to be like, if I'm interested in PR, how do I get into this?
Okay. First of all, I would say don't go to school.
Great. Heard it here on the Velvet's Edge podcast.
Just kidding. I mean, here's the problem with what school is. I think what I was being taught in school and then what I end up using in my life in general is not the same thing that you ever think it is. It is completely the opposite of what we were being taught, and then
right.
when you have to go into the world of PR, it's completely different. One thing I have to say, you have to be thick skin and tough. You can't cry at the job. You know, you are gonna get yelled at, screamed at. You know, it's gonna be your fault all the time. Which everything is my fault, pretty much. I always be like, it's my fault. You know, you have to remember that. And if you really, really want it, then you will be successful at it.
Okay.
But if you're kind of half-assing it, you're never going to be successful on it. You know, and some people sometimes come in and they try out. I've had assistants who have came in and tried out, and it's just like, it's not for them. And you will know right away if it's for you or not. Then you can make the decision what you want to do. But it's not the most easiest job in the whole world because you are stressed out every day. There's a lot of responsibility that comes into fact. You are basically handling someone's schedule. You're handling right. someone's career. And if you make a mistake and if you you F up, it's your ass in the line. So it's a very much also an attention to detail job. You have to be on it. You have to fact check everything. You have to make sure that, you know, the airline is booked. You'll be surprised. Sometimes you have that things that are not booked. So it just a lot of that. And then I always say, I'm like, sometimes I feel like I'm babysitting grownups.
You are.
In a way.
Yeah.
But it is that. So if you really love celebrities, and I think you really love entertainment, then you'll be great at it. But if you are just going into it to be hanging out with celebrities, which a lot, that's what it ends up happening. We end up having people who are coming into, you know, sign up to be an intern, or they sign up to be an assistant, and then you find out that they want to hang out with a certain celebrity, and they want to be in the scene. They want to go out every night and party and be around celebrities to party. That's not going to work because it's just not what the job is, and it's not really you're not in the right state of mind, and you're not really heading into the right direction.
Especially at the beginning, because I deal with that a lot too. Like assistants that all come in, they just want to be around the scene or what I'm doing now, and I'm like, you're not looking at what I was doing 15 years ago, though, which is where you are.
I was bringing my boss's coffee and making sure yes. that the paper was on the on her and his desk at a certain time, because if I didn't, I was in trouble.
Right. You got to do the work first.
You
got to
pay your dues. I always
comes.
Say if you pay your dues, you would always get rewarded. You would always get ahead of yourself and your job or whatever it is that you're doing. You got to pay the dues.
Yeah.
None of us, you know, came in and all of a sudden was not handed to us.
No.
It's not like that.
No.
You know, we all worked up to where we are now. So, but
I think that's really good advice.
Nowadays, I think there's a lot of people who feel entitled.
Yeah.
And also a lot of people who are in the generation of Instagram who think they're famous on Instagram. Just because you have a public figure on your Instagram, Let me tell you that. You're not famous.
No.
And no one cares. No one cares. So I don't care how many followers you have. If you were going to step into my office to work, you need to work. I'm not treating you on any different than the last assistant or the last person or whoever it is. You're going to have to put your work in. I don't care if you have a million followers. You're still going to have to put the work in. Mm-hmm. So it just, you got to be passionate about PR because it's not your typical thing. It's just, you got to be, and you have to be people's person. If you, someone is not people's person, then you're
not the right business.
It's not the right business for you.
No.
At all.
Well, I think that's really good advice. I think that's pretty much, that can go for anything in the entertainment industry.
Agree. Yeah. The certain person did not start off as an agent. They started off at the mailroom. So
exactly.
They were delivering someone's mail. So you have to keep that in mind.
Exactly. Well, Jack, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
You guys check Jack out on Very Cavallari this season 2, and on Instagram at Jack Ketso. And on Berm Squad.
Thank you.
Oh my God, Berm. How did I forget about that Berm? All right. Thanks for listening. Bye.